Alrighty, hour number three of our radio program. I made my three bets for the Masters yesterday. I do outright winners, three outright winners. That's the only bets I place. I know people in the betting world will be like, why didn't you bet top 10 finishes? Why didn't you do this guy to make the cut? This is what I do for major championships. There's four of them. I allocate about $25 to $30, depending on sometimes 40, $25 to 40. And I do it per golfer, just three guys outright to win. And I've had some success. Matt Fitzpatrick 1 year won a major. Colin Morikawa, his first major, I was on the winning side of that. But these are the three guys I took. Now, I ended up being a degenerate here because Patrick Cantlay's my guy. A very slow, boring golfer. But for whatever the reason is, for the last like 4 or 5 years, I think I've bet every major championship with Patrick Cantlay. And he hasn't got the job done. He's infringing on Ricky Fowler territory, if I'm being honest. And Cantlay 1 year, I tweeted this out. I said, I'm not betting on Patrick Cantlay for this major. I've always bet on him. That means he's probably going to win. He followed and DM'd me. And then I was like, oh, how am I not going to bet this guy now? So I have for 5 years or so, probably, every major I bet Patrick Cantlay. So here are the three bets I made. I took Willie Z, Will Zalatoris, 25 bucks. He's at plus 550 or 5,550 outright to win. So $25 will win me $1,400. If that's the case, lunch on me on Monday, guys. All right. Patrick Cantlay, he's at plus 3,500. $25 will win me $900. Once again, that wins. Lunch on me on Monday, guys. Colin Morikawa at plus 1,600, $25, 425. If that wins, lunch will not be on me on Monday. The other two wins, lunch on me on Monday. Morikawa wins, I'm just putting that funds right into the bank account. But here are some early returns on the Masters. Justin Rose, he's through 16. He's 8-under at Augusta, a tradition unlike any other. Corey Connors, who, by the way, he has a law firm that represents him. I know one of the lawyers there. He is 4-under. In second, tied for second, and he has finished for the day. Scottie Scheffler, the reigning champion after an Elite Masters menu, he has finished for the day through round one. He is also 4-under. Terrell Hatton, he has finished for the day. He is 3-under. We'll get to some other big names here. Rory McIlroy, trying to complete the career grand slam. He is 3-under through 12. Other big names, Matt Fitzpatrick, a major champion, 2-under through 14. Bryson DeChambeau, he is 2-under through 11. Freddie Couples, you know, I feel like he always has like a good opening round at his age, and then he just eventually tails off. He is 1-under. He is finished for the day. Patrick Reed, he is 1-under, finished for the day. Bubba Watson, 1-under, finished for the day. All right, where the heck are my guys? Patrick Cantlay, he is 1-under through 14. All right, Patrick, he's alive. Past Masters champion Hideki Matsuyama, he is 1-under through 12. Other potential guys here. Where's Morikawa? Did I say Morikawa yet? I don't think I did. Colin Morikawa, even, finished for the day. All right, we're still alive. Brooks Koepka, even through 13. Justin Thomas, 1-over, finished for the day. Jordan Spieth, 1-over, finished for the day. Sergio Garcia, who I can't stand. I hated Sergio Garcia. I'm a Tiger guy. I'm not a big Sergio Garcia guy. 1-over through 14. Wyndham Clark, who's been on this show, 1-over through 11. Victor Hovland, 1-over through 12. Will Zalatoris, come on, Willie. Well, he's finished for the day. He shot a 74, so he's 2-over. Let me see. Any other notable names? Keegan Bradley, 2-over. He's finished. Dustin Johnson. Paulina Gretzky's thing, right? Are they married? Or are they just dating? Are they engaged? I think they're married. They may have kids, or they may not be married. I forget. So that's why I just referred to him as a... I was going to say boo or thing. I forget what I said there. But 2-over through 15. Xander Schauffele, 2-over through 12. So that's where we're at right now. Any other big notable names here?
More importantly, yes, they are married.
They are married. Okay.
Yes.
So Paulina Gretzky, who is married to... What's the name? Dustin Johnson. So Dustin Johnson's wife, as we're talking here. John Rahm, 4 over through 11. All right, that's enough. I was like an ESPN update right there. Just took Axe's job there for 5 minutes. All righty, let's update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief right now.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Luka Doncic. He should still be on the Dallas Mavericks, but there's a guy named Nico Harrison who is a moron. That's the nicest way that I could say it. That's the most PG-13 way that I could say it. Here is Luka Doncic, how he felt after the very emotional tribute video that was displayed before they introduced him to the crowd as he returned home to Dallas last night as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers.
I don't know, honestly. Everybody saw me the way I reacted to the video. You know, all these fans, I really appreciate it, man. All the teammates I had, you know, everybody had my back. I'm just happy, you know. This guy, I love these fans. I love the city. But it's time to move on.
How were you able to not be too emotional, to still come out and play and perform the way you did?
I don't know how I did it, because when I was watching that video, I was like, there's no way I'm playing this game. But, you know, all my teammates had my back. They were really supporting me, so I really appreciate that.
You know, you watched the game last night, and it almost felt like it was a home game for Luka Doncic and that the Mavs were the road team. And then in the moment when I was watching that post-game interview with Lisa Salters, I'm sitting there and I'm like, hold on. They're blasting music while she's talking to him. I'm like, why don't you just project that to the entire crowd? It's one last send-off for Luka Doncic. I'm like, oh, wait, but the Mavericks are actually the home team. So that's how that experience last night messed up with you a little bit. I think they were just trying to play that music as loud as possible to kind of tune out Luka Doncic there. That's one last slimy thing probably that Nico Harrison was behind. All right, I've already have just unloaded on this and ranted, and this really pissed me off. But I'll play it for you again. This is Jason Kidd, who sounds like a dope here, comparing the Luka Doncic trade to Babe Ruth and then thinking it's pretty cool.
With 77, there's a lot of hope, right? With Luka, there's a lot of hope. This is a business. It happens, right? Trades happen. This won't be the last trade. Some are comparing it to Babe Ruth, which is kind of cool. But like when you look at just the business of sports, change happens. But when change happens, it's the ones who can carry on. Those are the special people. And so there's hope. There's still hope.
So Samter, obviously when you've gotten older, I think you've become a little bit calmer. I was having a conversation with someone about you. I will keep that person nameless. At the Final Four for Westwood One, and they were telling me when you, because like you do some work on the weekends for Westwood One, right? When you would be working with them on Sundays, that during the Jets games, when they would just be torturing you, you'd be screaming and losing your mind, and you would be so angry about the Jets. You know that Curb Your Enthusiasm skit, the Jets kill Carl? The person I was talking to would be like, we could have said the Jets killed Samter. But now you're not really like that, right? You flirted with the Chiefs for a little bit. Now you're back on the Jets. And I don't think you get so angry about the Jets because you've been tortured and beaten down so much that you're just kind of numb to it. But could you imagine, let's say the Zach Wilson thing happened when you were younger. Could you imagine if your head coach got up there and was like, you know, they're comparing Zach Wilson to Jamarcus Russell. It's pretty cool. You would lose your bleeping mind. If I'm a Mavericks fan today, I've already voiced my displeasure for Nico Harrison. I would be shredding Jason Kidd. You're saying it's pretty cool on being on the wrong side of the worst trade ever, which is Babe Ruth for money for a play to fund no new net. That was the curse of the great Bambino. And it's like, oh, yeah, Luka's getting compared to Babe Ruth. That's pretty cool. My follow-up would be like, hey, Jason, how much of a moron are you that you think it's pretty cool that your organization traded away the best player, right, that you guys had since Dirk Nowitzki, and everyone knows you got clowned in the deal? What's cool about that? But, Samter, if we could go back to Samter like 15 years ago, where I guess you really, really were fired up about this stuff, You would be losing your mind over this, right?
There may have been a few remote controls that have seen better days after the wrath of Mike Samter.
I got a scouting report because I had follow-up questions. I said, what was it like? And the person exactly said that. They go, we had to replace the remotes a lot.
And this person, I'll call him Brank or Crank or...
Wow, he knows the person.
Or
right away.
Shank.
You knew who the person was?
Yeah. Me and this guy, well, I can say his name because I know.
Frank.
Me and Frank.
I love Frank.
We used to sit in this small little studio, the two of us, while other people were running around cutting up highlights, and we were posting some of the highlights and doing some of these games for Westwood One. And we would just sit there for hours on end. And we had the best conversations, but like...
Was Frank a Jet fan?
No, Frank's a music guy. He doesn't really even care about sports.
Who? No, I think Frank.
Blank. Blank was more of a music guy than a sports fan. Yeah, that guy. And man, not only would I go crazy over the Jets, I flip chairs. I'd be in there. He's there working on the computer,
angry
and I'm
fella.
Flipping chairs over. Yeah, it was ugly.
All right, let's get to Nikola Jokic. The Nuggets won last night, but here were his comments on Mike Malone getting fired.
I mean, they woke us up. You know, it was a. We need to be woken before the playoffs, and I think when we're in there, we can mess things up. You know, we can fight and play with everybody.
Josh Kroenke called a team meeting yesterday. What was your reaction to the changes that he made?
I mean, when I'm coming from, it's part of the sport. You know, people go and come and go, but you know, it was a 10 years relationship with the coach, and we went through everything. We were bad, we were good. We won a championship, definitely. We have some great memories, but you know, it's part of the business, I would say.
How do you think the team has handled what I'm sure has been a wild 48 hours?
I think they got. Josh get the response that he wanted. You know, he. People say that we are vulnerable, but I think the beast is always the strongest or the most dangerous when they're vulnerable. So maybe he woke up the beast.
The beast is awake. The beast. I'll tell you, Nikola Jokic looked like the coach last night at times. So you had a taskmaster, right, in Mike Malone. He was difficult. He's demanding coach. But with that being said, he did win a championship. Those coaches, though, have expiration dates. I would not have fired him before the start of the playoffs, but after seeing that last night, I still don't think they're going to have this long run. I think they'll get to the second round at best. But can you imagine, Stu, if Nikola Jokic could will this team to the finals or they could win a championship after what did go down? The legacy of Nikola Jokic, multiple MVPs, already NBA championship, a finals MVP, but the legacy of Nikola Jokic would go through the roof if basically, while not having a coach, and I know LeBron got Blatt fired, but then there was like time, a lot of time with Ty Lue. There was 3 games left in the season, and they blew out the coach and the general manager. Nikola Jokic is basically the coach right now. Can you imagine if he just puts his team on his back and he goes and finds a way to win it all? It'd be stupid good.
Once we're talking legacy here, I mean, he'll already be in the top 15 to 20. If he wins a championship this year,
yeah.
I mean, it sounds crazy, but with all the MVPs and 2 rings, like he's inching
already,
up there.
I've already rather have the career of Nikola Jokic than Kevin Durant, right? I don't think that's a hot take either.
Yeah,
I'm more impressed with what Jokic did in Denver than, you know, Durant had such a great career before, but then the 2 championships that he won in Golden State, which were easy peasy championships to win. Let's go to Danny Green. This is on the Run It Back podcast on FanDuel TV. I guess Shaq said that he would make Wemby quit in a game, so this is Danny Green responding to that.
Yes, he would have bullied these guys. He would have been able to do that on the offensive end of the floor. But on the defensive end of the floor, Shaq would have had problems guarding these guys. There's no way he's stepping out. He was not even comfortable leaving the paint. To guard them on the perimeter, to guard them in a lone spot, and you know, you can't teach 7'4". These kids are 7'3", 7'4". Shaq, you're not blocking those shots, those jump shots. And they would have given him a lot of hell on that floor.
Hey, Stu, you're a huge Shaq fan. I kind of agree with that analysis.
I do too.
Where defensively, when they would have to defend Shaq, Shaq would just body Wembanyama and could break him.
Yeah.
But when it went the other way and Shaq had to play defense, I think Shaq would be out of shape and he'd be sucking wind having to go from the post to the top of the key to defend the way that these big men now have so much range all over the court.
Yeah, Shaq would average like 35, but he'd also like be on the team that gives up 140 points a game because he wouldn't be able to guard these guys. Exactly. I agree.
Let's go to Deshaun Watson. This was on Instagram, and we always get a motivational speech from Deshaun Watson. Now, he has not been great since 2020, but now he's telling everyone that people are giving up on him, and he's taking notes.
You know, the performance comes when, you know, your back is against the wall. It comes better because you kind of got to really lock in. You know, you don't have anything pretty much to lose, and I feel like that's where I'm at right now. You know, everyone's doubting me. You know, everyone don't believe in me. Everyone don't think that I can get back to where I was, but I know and I believe the work that I put in, what I believe in myself, the peace that I've been, you know, channeling these last couple months, I know I'm gonna be way better than before. I'm prepared. And I think before I wasn't prepared because, you know, I was kind of going with the flow of how the world was seeing me. But, you know, when you kind of get knocked down to the ground and you got to stand back up and walk through the rain, that brings out the real, another fire, another challenge, another grit that you have inside. And the biggest thing is really just mental, my mentality, the things that I got to deal with the outside and not taking everything personal, like I mentioned before, taking everything and just bringing it full force and really just standing in front of it face to face. The challenges, the adversity, whatever comes with it, gonna come with it. But as long as I'm doing it my way, I'm cool. I can live with that.
He's mentally cooked and he's also physically cooked. Shocking. The outside noise got to him. People calling him a terrible human being for the things that he allegedly did got to him, as it should. But him trying to make it out like he's some victim. Oh, everyone was trying to knock me down. These were self-inflicted wounds. You did these things. And also, you haven't been a great quarterback since 2020. 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. We are now in 2025. So am I holding my breath thinking that Deshaun Watson's going to go on this great redemption tour, especially how long it's going to take him to recover from the multiple injuries that he suffered this year and the multiple surgeries? Absolutely not. We talked about TJ Watt earlier. I said he should request a trade from the Steelers and go to a place where he could actually win a Super Bowl. This was Ian Rappaport earlier this morning, a Good Morning Football on the NFL Network, on the TJ Watt social media post that went out yesterday with the peace out sign that he had wearing a Steelers uniform.
For years and years, I would say it's just social media. It's really nothing. And then you sort of figure out, you cover enough of these situations, that rarely is it actually nothing. Generally, when a player makes a cryptic social media post, it's almost never nothing. So my guess, TJ Watt is in a contract negotiation situation with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Generally, when a player makes a social media post that forces us to talk about it on TV, like we're doing right now, it is because contract negotiations are not going as well as anybody had hoped. So I think we could safely say the contract talks between TJ Watt and the Steelers are not off to a rip-roaring start.
And I kind of believe the Pony Report that he heard that they made an offer that was lower than what Myles Garrett got, because that's what would set him off. I think he wants to stay with the Steelers. I think they eventually get a deal done. But I think that usually you don't see emotion from TJ Watt. That would elicit that type of response and how nasty that whole TJ Watt and Myles Garrett beef is. Let's go to Justin Fields on last year playing with the Steelers.
I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason. So, you know, I was put in a place where I wasn't, you know, really never in a place of my entire life. So I think, you know, I tried to have a different perspective on it. Of course, you know, Russ has been in the league for a long time. So I learned a lot of great things from him and, you know, got to kind of learn a different perspective of things. And, you know, like I said, he's been in the league a long time. So just seeing how he works every day, seeing his routine and, you know, picking up things that I can implement into my routine, into my game. So it was, of course, different for me in a space where I wasn't necessarily comfortable. But at the end of the day, like I said, you know, Coach Tomlin, he made a decision where he thought was best for the team. And like I said, I'm never going to, you know, go against that. Of course, I'm not a selfish guy whatsoever. So like I said, I just tried to change my perspective, get better each and every day in practice. And yeah.
Kind of chuckle that answer because almost like he wanted to be like, yeah, they didn't really believe in me. But I'm going to be respectful here, and that's the right way to approach it. Stu, do you have big Phoenix energy? Just wondering. Do you?
Sure. I would say so, I guess.
Santer, do you have big Phoenix energy?
They don't call him Michael Penix for no reason.
Is that what the big Mike CBS for? Yep. Is in your social media bio? Here is Michael Penix Jr. getting talked about by Justin Simmons, who makes it clear on Up and Adams that Michael Penix has that big Penix energy.
That was my third day of practice. Literally third day being there, he was running the second team reps and going up against the second team defense. And he had this no look throw down the sideline right into, it was the craziest throw I think I've ever seen in person. And I was like, oh, he has whatever it is. He has it.
Real quickly, that was on the Up and Adams show with Kay Adams. Kay Adams is doing an interview right now. Who do you think, which player do you think she's doing an interview with right now? This will be a big news interview one way or another. Samter, any guess?
TJ Watt.
Stu?
Micah Parsons.
No. Shador Sanders. Shador Sanders is all smiles live from Pittsburgh International.
Who's that?
Shador Sanders? You know, yeah. Rick Ross, do the Shador Sanders?
Huh. I feel like I've heard that name once or twice before. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Final one, Kyler Murray. How to improve the offense in Arizona? This courtesy of Phoenix Sports.
I do feel like I have to run more next year. I'm open to running more next year, just because it's such a weapon. You know, it's such a weapon. We're a very good rushing team, which is a great thing. But when Lamar hands the ball off, everybody's like, oh, like you know, you take it, you can relax. You know, Josh hands the ball off. So I think for us. Part of an emphasis going into the next season is conceptually on time. I feel like I'm one of the best in the league.
I just wonder if his body's going to be able to hold up. If I'm just being honest. If you're saying you're going to run more and you've already had injuries, that's a big concern for me. That's why I give Lamar a big amount of praise and credit. I know he had those 2 years where he ended the season hurt. But Lamar, as much as he exposes his body, he doesn't take a lot of big hits. And that's another part of it as well. Josh Allen bulldozes through everybody, but they've talked into the years about, you know, maybe going down a yard or two earlier not to go get 3 or 4 more yards and also take like 2 or 3 more hits. All righty, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. Off of Nico Harrison, who's the most hated and the most beloved person in your life in the world of sports? We'll get to that next. So last night, you saw someone who is loved by Mavericks fans. Beloved. And that's Luka Doncic. And then you saw someone that is hated, despised, there's great animosity towards. And that's Nico Harrison, who is the guy that was responsible for trading away, obviously, one Luka Doncic. So who is the most hated person in sports in your life? And who's the most beloved person in sports in your life? When I think of hate, I think of Michael Samter. Samter, who is the most hated person in your life when we take a look back in the sports world?
Are you saying that I hate a lot of people or I'm easily hateable?
You could interpret that however you want. I would say I meant it more so that you could hate a lot of people, you know?
Hey, guys in the YouTube chat, please tell me if you hate me or not. I know there's some of you who do and some who don't, but I need either a pick-me-up or a kick-me-down today.
Now, I've already made one career mistake, and that was not asking Jalen Lane if it's ranch or blue cheese on his wings. Going to Samter here first is risky, Stu, because usually when we do these things, he lists off like 45 people before he gets the one. So let's just hope, Stu, that he doesn't take mine or he doesn't take yours. So go ahead. Give me your long laundry list and I'll tell you if I hate them or not.
All right. I got about 10 of them here. All right. Very easy. I don't know if he was hated until the exact moment that people start to hate him, but Donald Sterling.
Oh, absolutely hated.
Hated.
And the easiest decision Adam Silver ever had to make.
But was he hated before the V. Stiviano stuff?
I think that a lot of people that work with him hated him. I don't know if there was national disdain because we didn't really know to the level of what was going on. And then once we heard that voicemail and those messages and that phone call, then it was like, okay, this guy is a piece of bleep.
And probably the most hated owner that I've known over the course of his ownership, Dan Snyder.
Yeah, I was going to say Daniel Snyder. I hated. Scuzz.
And another hated owner, a lot for her personality, not for winning or losing, but, you know, kind of racist, kind of whatever. Marge Schott with the Cincinnati Reds. I don't know if you remember her.
Yeah, I remember. no personal thing with me there, but I understand people that's why she was hated.
She said very many terrible things. Let's stay in baseball, though. How about Alex Rodriguez? Hated for a lot of reasons. Steroids, his personality, not winning.
I actually like A-Rod. I've always been an A-Rod fan.
You like it? Well, no. Even as a Yankee, you liked A-Rod?
Yeah, I've always liked A-Rod.
Even as a Yankee, I didn't like A-Rod.
Yeah, I've always liked A-Rod because he was such a great player. I understand he cheated and did all that stuff, but in my era, I was always a big A-Rod fan.
I just remember he left the Mariners, went to Texas for the big bag, and then the Mariners broke the AL record for most wins in the season the year that he was gone. But A-Rod was one of those guys. Maybe that GQ magazine photo shoot
maybe
also didn't help.
The mirror himself.
He was kissing himself in the mirror. This one's pretty easy. How about O.J. Simpson?
rest in peace, right? O.J. Simpson.
Rest in something.
Yeah, I think he's looking up is the way that I would say that. Yeah, obviously. I know Santa used to be an O.J. guy. Santa, when that whole thing was going on, they had a free O.J. shirt. Zach Gelb, not an O.J. guy.
A not guilty shirt is what I had. This guy was beloved and then very quickly hated Lance Armstrong.
So when I was a kid, those Livestrong bracelets were a big thing. You know, I remember going to Superboy camp. Everyone had to get a Livestrong bracelet. But then you found out, like, his message with cancer was important. But then you found out that he was a cheater and kind of the people he lied to. I still think the charitable work that he did was good. But yes, hated because of the fact that he was basically sitting on a throne of lies, pretty much.
And lies, and then, like, trying to bring down other people who were calling him out for his lies. Like, it's one thing to lie, another thing to, like, call out people. Remember Ryan Braun, who got that guy fired, basically,
for taking the
sample?
Tester.
Yeah.
Oh, what was his name? Oh, that's going to drive me crazy. Because that drove me bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. That he was going after the tester and everything.
Dino Lorenzi Jr.
Yes. There was Zach Gelb back in the day, had a lot of tweets about Ryan Braun and the way that he went about it.
A few more before we get to who I hate or who I think is the most hated.
Until JR show starts.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yes, and you know what?
Very hated.
He is a scum. An absolute terrible human being, and the way that he treats women is disgusting, despicable. And you have people that just suck up to him because he's a great boxer. Loser.
Yes.
And he took forever to fight Pacquiao, and then he waited to Pacquiao's practically past his prime because he was afraid to fight Pacquiao.
100%.
I hate Floyd Mayweather.
A guy that my dad hates, Bobby Knight.
So I know that Bobby Knight obviously gets a bad rap. And obviously the way that he treated his players wasn't wrong. But I think just because he was such a legendary basketball coach, in some way, as someone that was younger, he was just viewed as such a legend that I never really had a personal hatred for Bobby Knight. But I understand obviously why people hate him.
Conor McGregor.
I used to like Conor McGregor. Then with what he did with Khabib, and now this farce that he's going to fight again, which we all know he isn't, he's a bad dude. I despise Conor McGregor, and I would love to see him get back in the octagon just so someone could kick his ass and knock him out.
You know, and these are guys also, you know, Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, those kind of guys.
Greg Hardy can't stand. Yep. I'll tell you, what Ray Rice did was despicable, but he's done a good job in restoring his image since then, and obviously he's still married to I guess it was his fiance at the time when that whole situation went down in the elevator. So she's obviously forgiven him as well.
So I got one more that's not my guy, but he's not an athlete, but Skip Bayless. I feel like Skip Bayless is hated within the sports world.
He had a take last night. I think it was something along the lines of, if I was a Maverick fan, if I was a Laker fan, I would be annoyed with Luka because Luka cried. So it means that his heart's not really in being with the Lakers.
Come on. Skip. So my guy, who I think is the most hated athlete of my lifetime, is Michael Vick.
Oh, okay.
Michael
Makes
Vick.
Sense.
I mean, there's no excuse for what he did. And he has done a great job of rehabbing his image. So he's not as hated now as he used to be. Now he's coaching a college program. But at that time, it was almost like you could kill a person, but don't mess with dogs. You can get into a fight, you can have an assault, but
yeah,
don't mess with the dogs. And Michael Vick was like a pariah from society for what he was doing.
And he was at the top of the world, and he was dogfighting, and dogs were dying. It was disgusting. So Michael Vick is yours. All right, Stu, who's yours?
Mine is Barry Bonds. I believe that...
One of my favorite baseball players ever.
Yeah, mine too. I believe that during that whole run of breaking two beloved guys' records between Ruth and Aaron, and the fact that he cheated, he was kind of smug. I think he was just very disliked. He was probably liked...
He could be a prick.
Yeah, he was probably liked more pre the steroid era, but once it was found out that he was cheating, I feel like he was very disliked.
So I was going to say Aaron Hernandez here, and I don't think we need the explanation. He had everything right in front of him, going to have a great long career, be a part of that second wave of the Patriots dynasty, and then he was literally a killer. I got to go Jerry Sandusky, though. Jerry Sandusky at Penn State, right? And Santer talks about what Michael Vick did with dogs. Jerry Sandusky was sexually abusing children that were going to him, right, in a charity, pretty much. It, disgusting, one of the most despicable things I've ever heard of. And Jerry Sandusky is an absolute monster. So that's my least favorite person ever associated with sports. All right, who is your most beloved here? So we did the Nico Harrison side, and it kind of feels wrong throwing Nico in with some of these people because we're talking about people like murdered and like the Barry Bonds one. Okay, that's fine. When what was yours again? Oh, Michael Vick, and mine was Jerry Sandusky. Even I will say, and I'm not a big supporter of Nico Harrison. Nico, you made a stupid trade. You're not in the same class as those guys in our level of hatred.
Yeah,
for
but you know, though, Dan Snyder didn't do anything like wrong. He just was a terrible owner. I mean, I guess he kind of stole
treated
money.
People wrong in the workplace terribly.
Yeah, sure. But like he was hated way before that. Same thing like James Dolan hated because of how bad of an owner he is.
All right, most beloved. Who's yours, Samter?
So I had another small list. I'll go very quickly. Tim Tebow, Barry Sanders, Andre Agassi, Tony Gwynn, Bo Jackson.
You're more Agassi guy over Sampras?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And Sampras had no personality. Agassi was like the rock and roll, the cool hair, the cameras, and whatever. Married Steffi Graf. Andre Agassi was the man. But for me, the most beloved guy is the guy who taught me to put my hat backwards in the Rock and Jock softball games on MTV, Mr. Ken Griffey Jr., the coolest person in all of sports, the best, most beautiful swing we've ever seen. Jr. was the most beloved. Nobody I've ever spoken to has ever said any negative word about Ken Griffey Jr. He is beloved. He is wonderful. Always has a smile. He's at the Masters right now as a credentialed photographer because he's become a photographer. Ken Griffey Jr. is like my favorite athlete, maybe of a non-team that I root for in the history of the sport.
Oh, by the way, a bird chimed in on the most hated athletes of all time. They wanted to mention Randy Johnson. the birds aren't a big fan of one Randy Johnson. So, Stu, who's yours? Okay, most beloved.
So I'll say mine probably, he's probably not as loved the last few months because he's had some off-the-field stuff. But during his career, Mariano Rivera was by far, I feel like, just beloved. Probably not if you're like a Red Sox fan or you hate the Yankees, but...
Well, actually, Red Sox fans love him for 04.
That's fair. That's a good point. You're right about that. But I think Rivera, just overall from the general baseball fan, was absolutely loved.
I'm going to go with Steph Curry. I don't know if there's a more likable athlete in the history of sports.
That's
guy,
a great one.
Guy is smaller, incredible jaw-dropping ability from three-point, never gets caught up in anything wrong off the court, you know, has like a great love for his wife as well. I've never heard anyone actually. The only time I heard someone say a bad word about Steph Curry is when he threw his mouth guard into the stands once. That was it. And that's like, you could be in the public spotlight for almost 20 years, and that's the worst someone could say about you. That's a pretty great job there by Steph Curry.
I consider putting Michael Jordan on my beloved list. Do you think Michael Jordan was beloved, or was he just like respected?
Well, like Jordan could kind of be an a-hole.
But like we didn't care about it back then.
So I think he's one of the most popular athletes. I think he's one of the most jaw-dropping athletes. I don't know if the word beloved.
Yeah, see, I left him off my list because I was thinking the exact same thing as you.
Like, put it this way. If you see Steph Curry in the street and you go, hey, Steph, can I get a picture? I think you got a good chance. If you see Michael Jordan in the streets and you ask him for a picture, he will say no. So I know you can't say yes to everybody, but I know Michael's saying no. Steph, you at least have a chance.
He'll throw a cigar right at you.
Yeah. Or throw you into the ocean and try to catch you as a fish. Big fisher, Michael Jordan is. All righty, here's the latest update with Ack. Wait, timeout. Sam just got in my ear. When Andy Gresh was filling in on this show on that Wednesday, he does not like this rejoin.
He is not a Backstreet Boy fan. He's filled in a few times, and every time
he makes a comment on the air about it?
He makes a comment. He makes a face. He does not like the Backstreet Boys. And he hopes that one day you'll get rid of this. So whenever, if ever, he fills in again, he won't have to listen to it.
Hey, do me a favor. Next time Gresh fills in, play back every single segment. Every single segment. Gresh is lucky I like him. If another fill-in said that, I'd be like, you're done. We're making roster cuts. We'll snip you. But I like Gresh. I'm an Andy Gresh fan. He's really made comments about that. See, I've done a better job. Usually, like years past, usually when I would be on vacation, I would still tune in like from time to time. Now when I'm off, no offense, I want no part of this place. When I'm off, it's me time. I want to be by myself or whoever I'm with. And that's it. I don't want to deal with any of the... There was a run for 2 years. Anytime I'd take an off day, it was almost like DA and Marash would be like, oh, let's mention Gelb. And there would be times where I would be talked about and I'd have to call them on my off day. And I'm like, enough. Enough. I'm on vacation. And I love DA and Marash. But I really don't listen when I'm not doing the show. Like, I'll listen to other shows when I'm doing the show in terms of like through the week, but if I'm on vacation, I'm not tuning in. So Gresh, he said that, right? On the air. Huh? Ungrateful.
Very grateful. He says, Zach is wonderful. Zach is incredible. However,
but I hate this song.
This one thing.
And that's not AI. That is legit from the Backstreet Boys. It's the most jealous Santa ever was of me. At that Super Bowl, you're like, when did you have the Backstreet? My wife is here. All she wants to do is meet them. I was like, oh, we had them on like 2.5 hours ago.
Yeah, I wasn't all that jealous. I just wanted to make my wife happy.
Yeah, that is true. You know, happy wife, happy life, obviously. All righty. So, Gresh, most hated person in the history of sports after that. You know, Sandusky, Vic, Larry Nassar, and then Andy Gresh. When we're doing most hated people in sports. You know, there's different levels to this. Like, we did this topic on behalf of Nico Harrison, and then you get to people that, like, it's just not a trade. Like, that's trivial when you look back at it. You look at what some of these just monsters did that are associated with sports, just absolutely despicable. All righty, Sam, you were reading a Jeremy Fowler article on the ESPN earlier this morning. You have a big takeaway from it, so tell me what was cooking there.
So, he was talking to various scouts and others as they get ready for the draft. And here was what they were talking about when they were discussing Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe.
Mm-hmm.
His pro comp. Quote, a frequent comp for Milroe among scouts, Justin Fields. Both are big and fast quarterbacks who can create chunk yardage in space. As passers, they are quarterbacks with strong arms who can hurt defenses, but struggle with accuracy, touch, and decision-making. They are good enough throwers to keep defenses honest, but are not good enough to warrant a pass-heavy offense tailored around them. So my question for you is that a good thing? For Jalen Milroe being compared to Justin Fields?
I think it's a horrible thing.
Oof.
Because, like, let me just ask you this. Take out the name Justin Fields, who I think is still well-liked, and there's still a curiosity factor about Justin Fields. Could you imagine if Jeremy Fowler came out and said, hey, I'm comparing Jalen Milroe to Zach Wilson? We would all immediately say, oof. But the fact that he's comparing him to Justin Fields is like, oh, even though Justin Fields hasn't worked out, you know, there's hope, you know, the Bears messed him up. The Steelers, he was playing well, and they pulled the rug out from underneath him. There's at least some hope with Justin Fields. But Justin Fields right now, until proven otherwise, is a bust in the NFL. So I don't think that's a good thing when you have a questionable quarterback prospect getting compared to being a bust. Now, you could question compare the playing style, and right, the way that I would then view Jalen Milroe, tremendous runner, we have no clue what he's going to be as a thrower. And I think that's kind of a fair way to compare Jalen Milroe, but I don't think it's a good thing. And I much rather would have Justin Fields over Jalen Milroe coming out of college, to be clear. But with that being said, Jalen Milroe, I think the comp is Anthony Richardson. I really do. And that's not good either. Because there's moments, and Jalen Milroe had better moments than Anthony Richardson, like that game against Georgia. There's moments where he looks like a stud and looks like he go win a Heisman. But then there's moments like Oklahoma. Then there's moments like, you know, Vanderbilt, other games too, where the ceiling and the floor, obviously there's a great disconnect, but eventually you just got to find the middle ground. And Jalen Milroe's never just been able to have like a fine game or an average game. It's either you have everything or you have absolutely nothing. And sorry, I think I said the Vanderbilt game. It was more the Tennessee game. The Tennessee and the Oklahoma games were so bad. So bad for Jalen Milroe. And he was terrible in that bowl game up against Michigan, too. I give him credit for at least playing in the bowl game. But Michigan wasn't playing a lot of their guys. And geez, he just got destroyed by Michigan. It was brutal. So I don't think that's a good thing. By the way, next time Gresh fills in, I think I may do some personal voice work. I may, before we play that rejoin, be like, "Hey, Andy Gresh, hear you're a big fan of this song. Enjoy it, big fella." And then you play right, boom, into "Everybody, yeah." That's what I think we should do next time for Gresh.
Either before or in the middle of it. I just repeat it over and over again.
Well, no, I mean just right before and just like give him a little flair. Yeah. You know, yeah. Gresh could take a joke. Gresh is
he's
good
a very serious guy.
Oh, yeah, very serious.
Very serious guy.
Yeah, super, super duper serious broadcaster. All righty, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network on this Thursday. I guess I won't be resigning. You know, I thought I had to resign after not asking Jalen Lane if it was ranch or blue cheese, because that's my shtick and I forgot about it. But big thank you to Jalen Lane for joining us. Virginia Tech wide receiver, punt returner, get ready to hear his name called in the NFL draft 2 weeks from now. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to Samter. Big thanks to each and every one of you. However you do consume the program, whether it's via the radio, on Sirius, or via YouTube. We'll be back tomorrow on a Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Enjoy your evening, everybody. We out. Bye-bye.
Peace.